So what I'm going to do now is we're going to set aside, we're going to set the ground rule. Number one, of course, you got to be nice. Two, this right here. Grab some chairs, guys. Yeah. This right here, TMI. A lot of you guys have already heard this, TMI. The big rule for this group is there's no such thing as TMI. TMI is a way to shut you the fuck up, and it's not okay. Because people deny the validity of what you say. TMI. There's way too much of that in this world, not in this group. What we want is if you want to go on long, go on long. If you want to be passionate and maybe even cry, do that. There's nobody here that's going to say, ew, what did I step in? This is about us actually taking the time to talk in the ways that we can't in a crowded bar, where we actually talk about stuff that matters rather than who's fucking who, when's the next party, where do you buy the best drugs. Oh, they've been together 2 weeks? Ha ha ha, I always said that they'd, you know, that I never thought they'd make it that long. You know, all the bitchy shit that we said. You know, all that crap. Well, I know. But see, the problem is that it's too easy, but there's no strength in it. So what we're going to do instead is let's just go ahead and just do a stupid little game first. I'm going to have people... Hi. Okay. Scott, you're going to help me with this one. I'm going to be writing, and you're going to point at people, and they're going to yell out what they think is a really good adjective for a really good top, like the ideal top, okay? Adjectives, I need them. So get his attention, and then he'll point at you, and you'll yell out the adjective. Okay, I'm going to start out. Hung, baby, yeah. Okay? What else? Anybody else?
Intelligent.
Got it. Next.
Confident.
Next.
Aware.
Good. I'm going to be asking you more about that one a little bit, but let's do this first. Continue.
Very strong and knowledgeable.
Oh, two.
Leader.
Just a second, catching up. Leader. Yeah, that's fine. That's more of a... Okay. More.
More taste, more filling.
What?
More taste.
Oh, Lord.
That's a big one.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever. More. Ruthless. Okay, now we're getting into it. Okay. We're getting into the hardcore stuff. Okay, keep going.
Wants feedback.
Okay, so that's okay. I'll take that. Here, could you move this for me, please? Yeah. Okay. Anybody else?
Verbal.
What?
Verbal.
Perceptive.
Okay.
Intuitive.
/ perceptive. How about that? Okay. More? Furry? Got it. That's fine. These are all perfectly good words. Older. Okay.
Stable.
I had a feeling I'd need the extra room. All right. Let's keep going.
Masculine.
Dominant. What was that? Oh, and dominant.
Driven.
All right. Driven. Focused. Okay. Loyal and protective.
Sober.
Okay. Toy collection. Got it.
Good answer.
All right. Anybody else?
I don't see passionate.
What's that? Passionate? Got it. Very good.
Trained.
Okay, we're going to need more chairs, I think. Trained. Okay, that's a good one. Trained. Did you say trainable?
Yeah. Can we get a couple more chairs?
Yeah, let's do that. I can always edit this down. I'm going to put this in here. Yeah, I had a feeling this was going to be a popular topic. If we have to do a separate circle, that's fine. I don't mind. Nasty, was that?
Yes,
yeah, I'm nasty. Nasty. Got it. Trustworthy. I'm okay with that. I'm okay. I think we had confident already. Did you say competent or confident? Competent. I should have said start at 7 sharp. All right. We're going to have to put out some butt pillows or something here for everybody sitting on the ground. Welcome, gentlemen. Actually, I'm going to be standing up a lot, so let me think. Where is he? Where'd he go? There he is. All right. Well, are we out of chairs yet? Okay, let's get more. I mean, let's start a second circle here. Seriously. It's going to be that topic. Okay.
I don't know. We can always put the boys on the floor.
That's where I'm going with this. So get your boy on the floor. Sit his ass down. Hey, let him sit between your feet. I think he'll like it. I said. All right. Yes.
Masterly.
Masterly, okay.
No, actually, master.
Master or masterful. We're doing adjectives. Okay, so masterful. Is that the word you're choosing? Because, or am I putting words in your mouth?
Actually, I'm
saying master. Master Lee?
E-R-E-D.
Mastered?
Yes.
How do you mean that?
Meaning that as great as he is, he's aware that he's also in service of something to whom he serves.
Okay. Mastered. There you go.
Ethical.
Ethical. Got it. Okay, I think we got passionate, don't we? No, yeah, right here. Yeah.
Come
passionate. Oh, we're always passionate to come. Yeah. Okay. Come passionate. That's right. Okay. These are very good words. So how about we just wind it up there, and now let's go on over to the other side of the board. Okay, let's talk about adjectives for bad tops. Okay?
Self-centered.
Self.
What's wrong with that?
Centered. All right. If that's not what you're looking for. Okay, next.
Inexperienced.
Uncaring.
Hang on. Slowly, slowly. Uncaring.
Intolerant.
Mm-hmm. Intolerant. Next.
Impatient.
Yes?
Egoic.
Egocentric?
Same thing.
Okay. I just wanted to use a real word. Okay. Next. I'm the only one allowed to make up words, okay? Anybody else? Come on, be tough. Be bitchy. Come on. Girly.
How about bitchy?
Bitchy, soft, limp, limp and squishy. Okay, keep going, guys. What's that? Quick. Okay, got it.
Non-communicative.
So honestly, we're a lot of these tips. A lot of these are the opposites of what we're seeing here. Okay. Unsafe. Got it.
Unreliable.
I should have had somebody with good penmanship skills. Too late now.
Boring.
Boring. Got it.
I'm not sure how you get that.
Yeah, doesn't listen.
Timid.
That's a good one. Timid. What was that? Unadventurous?
Yeah. How about vanilla?
Okay. Anybody else? Too eager to flip, otherwise known as queen of, I mean, man of the streets and queen of the sheets. Yeah.
As I get older, it's harder for me to read letters that small across the room, so blind would be really bad.
All right. Thank you, Dan. All right.
Especially if you're doing anything dangerous.
Okay. So let's just play with what we have. Okay. Anybody else new that I haven't spotted? Well, tons of people coming in. Thank you for coming, gentlemen. So what would be the point of this? The things that I notice about this list, and I want other people to chime in too. Okay, we've got all these wonderful different phrases. Other than some of the physical ones, such as I put on hung, but I notice that everybody else other than are furry and older, those are descriptive of somebody, you know, in a way that they have no control over. But a large amount of these are actual virtues and values on the left side. You know, a lot of these are Boy Scout stuff. That's really where I'm going with my point. So I'm going to sit my ass here and I'm going to survey it. I want you guys to take a look at the opposite words. Okay. What we're looking at are character defects for a large amount. You know, not all of them, but many of them. We look at the larger pattern. What we're looking at is people who lack virtues or values. Someone who is selfish and uncaring. Well, if somebody's looking for self-centered and uncaring, ding, you're a winner. But for a lot of people, if they're not looking for that, then it's kind of disappointing for them, where they're letting their, you know, their tender side be shown in it, and it's not being appreciated or whatever. Where we're going with this is we can all aspire to most of the things on the good side, because these are things that are attainable for the most part. We have no control over hung. We have no control over hairy. We can't help the older portion, you know, and someday we may be able to afford the toy collection. But where the rest of this goes, these are things that are attainable. The point that I'm leading up to is that there is no such thing as somebody who wants to be a bad top. Everybody wants to believe that he's on the side of the angels, that he can thrill them, that he has what it takes, if only he just has just something a little extra. What I assert that what people need as a little extra is to just be thanked for what they're doing, because we don't do that. As a culture, we're so busy setting high expectations. Oh, he just wasn't aggressive enough. Or, oh, you know, he was such a big old Mary when, you know, he seemed so hot in the bar, but as soon as he opened his mouth, then a purse fell out. You know, we've got all these different judgments, you know, and it's funny. But the fact of the matter is that we spend an awful lot of time deconstructing other people based on things that they may not have control over. Or if they could, they would change it instantly, but they don't know which way to turn. For those people who might not have read my little essay leading up to this talk, probably most of you have, but I'm just going to reiterate. We don't have enough people signing off on tops. I do it every week. I teach a lot of people. I mean, how many people here, show your hands, how many people here have had one-on-one training from me, either top or bottom? Right. And that's available for everybody, by the way. The reason why I do it, it doesn't put any money in my pocket, doesn't get my dick wet. But the reason why I do it is because what I've observed is that when I test somebody and I make sure that they are doing their absolute best and I know that they're putting their heart and soul into it, I make sure that they know it. And they stand a little bit taller and they puff their chests out a little bit more and they wag their tails and they run off and go do more, even more so. Because we need more patriarchs. We don't have enough of them. People who have experience, who have depth of wisdom, depth of experience. One of the words I believe was untrained, or trained is one of the good words, and I think untrained is one of the bad words. But we can't really judge people for that, because how many people are actively involved in training? And I can tell you right now, not a lot. So what we can do is we can train each other. That's my point that I'm leading into in this. I'm going to talk about operant conditioning. Operant conditioning is what they do at the San Diego Zoo. It's what school teachers do when they're teaching small children. It's where you only use positive reinforcement in order to make sure that you're rewarding good behavior. We can do this as a tribe, and that's what I'm inviting this whole room full of men to do, and anybody who might be listening to this at home. If we give positive feedback when things go well and gently ignore the little fuck-ups, you know, little fuck-ups you can pass, you know, it's fine. But if we help each other in a conscious way, then we're actually helping each other to know how to be a better man, how to be a better top. Now, I'm going to use the word top. It's interchangeable during this entire series, whether we're thinking master or sir or top or daddy, interchangeable words, okay? I might use the word boy. That could be somebody who's in their 70s. Thank you. And we'll get you in just a moment. When somebody has a boy heart, where they wish to be of service, they're externally motivated, they want very much to do good work, they want to be praised for it, they want to be loved, they want to be treasured, they want to be fucked. You know, I'll just call him a boy. We could call him, you know, submissive, we could call him a slave, we could call him whatever. There's lots of different terminology, but we're talking about basically the dichotomy, you know, the basic dichotomy. Yes, what was your thought?
No, you hit on something I thought was very important. It's about being conscious and being aware in that particular moment and being able to judge between what is a minor fuck-up and what's not.
Yeah.
Too often, I think that's, we get wrapped up in what's going on, like you said, our everyday life, beating each other up and everything else, and you're not conscious of what your words and the power that they hold are, and your actions.
Yeah.
And you need to be really conscious.
And that, thank you. And my invitation to everybody is to be conscious forever, from now on, from this point onward. Here's why. When I'm training a top who really wants to get better at it, the first advice I give him when he gets his first boy is I say, for God's sake, make sure that every single day before that boy goes to sleep, he writes out a long email talking about what happened today. This is a very important technique. I'll talk about technique a lot. First, we're going to cover a lot of philosophical stuff, but we're also going to go very deep into technique of what works, okay? But as far as getting email, it's feedback. Okay, last night we were at the Eagle having a rocking good time, throwing toys around, getting tied up, and having a really nice time playing with each other at the hands-on demo night over at the Eagle. The thing that I did over and over again, see, I've indoctrinated probably well over 1,600 beginners into being flogged. And the reason why I never fail, why I never have people saying, that's it, I'm never doing this again, why I never get people objecting to it is because I calibrate. The way that I do it is that I go up to them after I've started doing it for a while, and then I'll say, okay, on a scale of 0 to 10, with 10 being intolerable, where am I? And he might say 3, at which point I say, I accept your challenge. Okay? But if somebody says 8, I go, okay, so that helps me know. But see, that feedback is crucial. Now, see, that's fine if I'm the sort of top who can ask and I'm conscious about it. But the bottoms train us through their feedback. And if it's loving feedback, it's the richest and most juicy and most nourishing feedback you can possibly get. If they care about you and want you to be a better sir, to be a better top. Anyone who has been around a long time, this is an old, old, old phrase, and I'm hoping I'm phrasing it correctly, but I mean, I heard this 36 years ago, that the bottom really runs the show with an ethical top. That because of his feedback, if he's going, ow, 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 son of a bitch, and it's not the right kind, then you ramp it back because you listen and you pay attention because he really is in the driver's seat, whether he's in the sling, whatever. We make sure that we know how he's doing at all times. Well, that's fine, but it also means that he has responsibility too. The problem with being a kinky top is that you're probably the most easy person in the world to smear, to defame, to damage through bad gossip. Because everybody will believe it. You tell me he's a bad top? No doesn't mean no. Oh, I just knew it. He's such a beast. Just look at him. And people will always believe the bottom, even if the bottom is going out of his way to smear it, that person. And suddenly the top can't get laid anymore because everybody knows what he's really like, even though that may not be so for him. Okay, so we have to give him a little grain of salt, you know, a little bit of credibility. A bad top, as I was saying, does not want to be a bad top. He wants to be good. But let's look at what is actually holding a top back. And this is true. I mean, this is very true. I came up with some things in the article I wrote, but I'm going to bring them up again. One, we are being held to ridiculous expectations because we're living life in shorthand. If I'm, again, bringing up my favorite pet peeve, Grindr, I have to say something on Grindr that defines me, even though that may not be me all the time. Okay? Where I have to say, oh, yeah, big, hung, top, you know, dominant, you know, experienced, whatever. Well, then I have to deal with what comes at me because I'm suddenly everybody's expectation of a certain thing. And what if I'm not in that space? What if I never was really, truly in that space and I'm shy about it? I'm expected to reach a height that everybody's hoping that I'm going to be at. And then when I'm not, it discourages me. Okay. We have a lack of mentors. That's another big downer. And far more important, hold that thought. Far more important, we are spending way too much time looking at porn. Okay. Okay, we look at these 13 gentlemen on the wall here, and all of these pictures, Tom of Finland. I bring up this example all the time. Well, I'm going to bring it again. You don't see these guys sad and wanting to stay in bed all day, you know, with the pillow over their head because they're depressed. You don't see them being broken. You don't see them talking all girlish with their friends after the party or picking up poops the next morning, you know, because the dog made a big mess or whatever. You don't see them being human. Well, you think of all the porn that we look at. Large amounts of large penises, large amounts of perfect bodies, large amounts of idealized scenes. You'll notice the wonderful, you know, what do you call it? The gifts that move. What do they call those again? GIF animations. And it's always the most wonderful 3 seconds, but it doesn't show anything of the rest of the scene, which was already incomplete during the porn video. It didn't show, you know, that it took the bottom an hour and a half to finally get properly douched, you know, and all the agony that he went through in order to get to that place. You don't see the full picture. So we're struggling with a lot of stuff. We're expected to be these guys. And we can, heaven knows, when we're in the mood, fuck yeah, give me some of that. But we also have to accept the fact that we have a lot of imperfections, and we have to let ourselves off the fucking hook. Okay? I'm going to describe 3 of the most popular tops that I know in the state of California. Okay? All 3 of them have boys just all over them. They could have as many as they want, you know, 6 brand new ones a day if that's what the way they were working. And we'll talk more about that, and we'll get back to you. I apologize, I forgot. And Scott's got to get my attention, and I've got my back to him. I'm sorry. I'm done looking at that. I'll face this way. So anyways, I'm losing my train of thought. I'm easily scared. Okay, so these 3 tops. One hasn't seen his dick, even in a mirror, in probably 30 years. But he has huge confidence. And he's just very fat. He has huge amounts of confidence and savoir-faire and, you know, he's just a cocky son of a bitch, and he's just got the boys all over him. It isn't about the dick. I'm sure in some way it might be, but, you know, not in any way that I can see. Okay, but another guy, the most handsome, most glorious fucking man, and, oh, he is a absolute clothes horse. He's got the most perfect gear and everything. He's got the boys all over him, too, and he wears a colostomy bag. Doesn't matter at all to his boys. He'll have 3 or 4 at a time. And they stay with him. They love him dearly. Another one has almost no sense in his dick. He hasn't come with another human being in probably 14, 15 years. The boys don't mind. They love him and what he is doing for them. It's not just about the dick. It's not just about the orgasms. If we're looking for perfection in a top, we're going to look forever. So I think all of us know somebody who has it all. You know, they've got the perfect look. They've got the perfect muscles. They've got the perfect dick. They got the height. They got the hairy. They got pretty much all that. And they're still deeply insecure. It's the human condition. We all have our hang-ups. We all have our past that haunts us. We all have our story that causes us. Yes. Your turn.
Well, yeah, my name is Les. I met many of you 2 weeks ago. I spoke with Tony earlier this evening. When I introduced myself 2 weeks ago, you all know I'm a nudist. And I would like to be able to, I'm exploring this community, and I would like to be able to participate in these groups without my clothes on. So I just want to put that out to the group.
Okay. Show of hands.
If there is anybody that objects, please, by all means, let me know that it's not okay. But I would like to be able to be naked in here, if that's okay.
Any objections? Raise your hand. Go for it. Just do it quietly, please.
Yeah, I have that. I can get those people in the right blood colors.
One of the things I'm going to be talking about is the virtue of frailty in a top. This is not a common topic. This probably surprises the shit out of people. But the thing that those three tops have in common is that they have a sense of humor about themselves and they accept their frailties. They've learned to love themselves, flaws and all. And that is incredibly sexually attractive. I think it's down here somewhere, confident, I think. Yeah, confident. That's a big one right there. Well, how the fuck do you get to confident? The way you get to confident, again, is through honest, unfiltered feedback. That's why I'm asking. Every bottom boy, every switch, everybody who plays with the top, give honest, unfiltered, non-withheld feedback. If you want to see happier, more confident, cocky tops, it takes a village, like I said in my article. You've got to reach out. You've got to say, you know, like for instance, one of the common verbal ways of saying things properly is to use the word and, A-N-D. I really like what you did, and there was this one thing, if you did it just a little bit different, it'd be better for me, as opposed to, I really liked what you did, but at that point, whatever you just, what you're about to say, forget what you just said. It discounts what you just said. So use the word and. If you're giving feedback, give it full force. If the top doesn't like that, he's not conscious about the process, because anyone who wants to be a better top is starved for useful information, absolutely starved. Anybody have any thoughts? I'm going to pause at this point. Let's open it up to discussion, then we'll get to the next part. Yes, please.
What about those of us who fall into the range of being a bottom, but they're an aggressive bottom, and there are not many tops that I know of who want an aggressive bottom. They want basically people to be submissive.
It's really important that you make that clear at all times. Because if it's not you to be submissive, then there's no ethical reason for you to try and fit into a box that isn't shaped like you. That there are tops out there that absolutely enjoy the challenge. Absolutely. I've met a bunch of them in my life. Now, how many people here, show of hands, have not read my intro to this discussion? Oh, wow. Wow. Oh, boy. Well, I just happen to have a copy with me. Yeah, so I'm going to read it out loud. It's I promise, it's worth it. Okay. So I talk about it. Okay. Starting Wednesday, I will be teaching an ongoing series of lessons on the practical philosophical and achievement-oriented aspects of becoming a respected, successful, wise, and effective top, sir, dominant daddy, or master for the rest of your life. Really. This course is recommended for tops, bottoms, and versatiles. It takes a village to develop higher quality tops to thrill a community, folks. This weekly series will continue until the topic is exhausted, but it may take many months. No kidding. This is a weekly series, and I can easily see 3 or 4 months. No problem. We got a lot to cover. I mean, this is just the intro. Okay. I will be inviting fellow experienced tops to come in and give their viewpoints as time goes by. The cost is that you have to pass along whatever you learn without hesitation when you have the chance to do so. Okay. The first portion of each session will consist of the lecture, followed by questions answered and general discussion. These sessions will be audio recorded for the most part, and links to the audio will be posted on the top of the same page you're reading right now, so you might want to bookmark it. Some sessions will be partially video recorded so that the more visual lessons can be shared as well. Draw a line of distinction. When is the big series on bottoms going to show up? Not sure. Here are my thoughts coming from a highly biased, long-time top. There aren't enough tops to go around, particularly skilled ones. Several obvious ones spring to mind. A lot of us died. The wisest, heaviest players were the hardest hit, and died first. Huge amounts of wisdom went away with them. There are things that I will be talking about in this series that nobody talks about anymore. How to train a bottom to have multiple orgasms in a 5-minute period, or come on command, or to have anal orgasms, as just a few examples off the top of my head. The few guys who did survive tend to be permanently damaged and won't come back and share what they know. The supply of role models is vanishingly small. They have given all that they can during the bad years, and they are simply waiting out the clock in their suburban bomb shelters. We can't wait for them any longer. Easily accessible porn is fucking up our perspective and making us fail. If you try what you see in a porn video, you're missing massive amounts of behind-the-scenes preparations, foreplay, seduction, gaining the bottom's trust, giggle fests in the middle of play, cuddles and snoozes, limp dicks being injected with boner enhancer, increasingly larger dildos being practiced with off-camera for hours beforehand in order to prepare for the monster stunt cock, and a billion other things. All that you get is the fantasy, and it's not enough to succeed. Porn is a shitty role model. Back in the days before the internet, I wish I had a reference to share with you. Some guy did a statistical scientific study. He found that a bottom, sub, slash boy, slash slave who wanted to be collared by a wise, experienced, and respected top had a 4% chance of doing so. I don't know that researcher's methodology, but I can't argue with his conclusion. I'm not willing to stand for it. I want to increase those odds any way that I can. If we have cocky, happy, serenely competent tops increasing in numbers everywhere in our tribe, then there will be increasing numbers of thrilled and satisfied bottoms. Win, 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 win! So, what the hell gives me the right to teach such a topic? Folks, I am not Mr. Perfection. There are men out there somewhere who undoubtedly know a lot more than I do on a particular topic, such as urethral sounds, for one example. I'm hopelessly ignorant and need to learn more about them. However, I am glad to share what I do know, and so far those other guys haven't bothered to show up. I never stopped wishing that they would. I'm a rare case. I got into the heavy player kink scene starting in 1977, and I'm not dead. Like the majority of men that I played with so long ago, I'm still around. I grew up in a household and Catholic school environment that left me with pretty close to zero practical life skills by the age of 18, and I keenly felt the lack. So, as soon as I could, I found the kinky, gay, Leatherman's crowd, bitty, and dove in head first. Those fine, fun, and debauched older men took me under their wing and gladly taught the tall, eager young top some wonderful techniques, philosophies, and viewpoints that have stood me in good stead for my entire life. And then they died. So it is my karmic duty to teach others what I have learned. In the decades since I started out as a gay Leatherman, I've never wasted a single opportunity to learn every time that I've ever played with a man, and there have been a lot of men that I've played with, multiple thousands. No kidding, and not the slightest exaggeration. My goal was to gain practical wisdom. If you know me at all, you know that, if anything, I overshare in my eagerness to help out my brothers. Folks don't seem to mind too much because I like to dispense coping mechanisms and success techniques for a subculture that doesn't have many folks looking out for our specific needs. These talks won't be perfect. I tend to ramble, wander, repeat myself, use too many words when a few words would have been better, and use illustrative stories to make a point when a simple answer would be quicker. However, folks seem to like my extremely charismatic style just fine for the most part. I'm never boring, that's for sure. So thank you for letting me share that. I considered that to be the prerequisite, and that's why I read it, since so many people hadn't read it. What I want, what my goal for anybody that has it in their heart that they want to know more, they want to be better at being a dominant in whatever form, however that shows for you, I am committed to your excellence. As anyone knows me, I do not use those words lightly. I absolutely stand by what I say. It's something that brings me great joy, because when I see more and more people at a play party slinging a flogger around, and they look like they've got flames coming out of their nostrils, like every hair on their body is standing straight out, and they feel like a 9-foot-tall erect penis, you know, like, full masculinity on foot, that's my payoff. Because as a culture, we need more of that. We have not had a lot of that. We need more couples, more colored boys, more people finding each other and retaining each other. As gay males, we have learned the hard way how to attract somebody. The hard part is keeping them. I'll be talking more about that. If you want to be somebody who is serene inside his own skin, if you want to be really technically proficient, but far more important to understand why the different things are important. That's what I cover. I will be covering a lot of technique. We've got a lot of technique to cover for a lot of different things. But far more important is that I want you to understand that what we want is not more guys that look and act like this up on the wall, the Tom of Finland characters. What we need as a culture is men who are admired because they're admirable, who are loved because they're lovable, who are respected because they're respectable, and honored because they're honorable. I'm talking about virtues and values. As gay men, we flinch. You know, because we've been told, you have no virtues, you have no values. Fuck that, we do. What do you think we're praising here? These are all virtues and values, you know, except for the physical aspects. Yes, your thoughts.
My comment just on the word that popped right now, which is praise.
Praise.
I spent the larger part of my professional life at the Gay Villa, immersed in literature about Greece and Rome.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that really amazed me was because the athletic young man was, they knew the closest that they were ever going to see to the face of God as they understood.
Mm-hmm.
So that when they were enraptured, enamored of, and serving this young man, they were serving the God also that he represents.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of blew the end off of their capacity to praise, because they knew it wasn't just this figure in front of them,
mm-hmm.
but it was what that figure was, a doorway
right.
into that was, both of them adored.
What he was representing, yes.
Yeah. And that, once I really began to understand that, it was so much easier to say things that just felt genuinely appreciative. Because I realized I didn't have to be embarrassed about gushing or saying too much, because I knew that I could never actually say how magnificent they are. I could never really put all that into words.
It's really hard to overpraise.
It is.
If it's real, if it's authentic, if it's absolutely, you're being in the moment, you're being fully present with that person, and you're saying what is so for you, you can't really overpraise. And it has to be true, and it has to be in the moment, and it has to be with all your heart. The reason why I say it is because we're not encouraged to do that. We're encouraged to do an awful lot of stuff, but not that. But by being true with people, we're giving them feedback, we're helping them get to this, and away from this, away from the negative, and towards the positive, towards being a better man, being a more respected man, being somebody that you want to be more like. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to fit into that box of the Tom and Finland stereotype, though there are times where we all feel like that. Good, but not 24/7. You know, it's a trap. to want to try and, like, I used to know this guy. He considers himself a very hardcore leather top. And I drove past him. He was standing at a bus stop. It was 108-degree weather, and he's dressed in head-to-toe leather because he never dresses in anything else. And he's taking off his master's cap, and he's frantically wiping his forehead and probably just ready to keel over. I just thought, dude, the doctor prescribes Hawaiian shirt, shorts, and flip-flops, you know, and lots of water. For God's sake, you got to get off of it because no one is a single note. I use this phrase all the time. For you newbies, this is new. Every one of us is a symphony. We'll be talking a lot more about that. We can have the full range of being a, of the experience of being a man, from giggling like a little girl while you're tormenting the hell out of somebody, or cuddling and snoozing, or, you know, getting hardcore and really raunchy and, you know, just rampant and joyful. But we don't have to be stuck in this position all the time. This talk tonight is all about letting ourselves off the hook, that it's okay to be frail. It's okay to be insecure. It's okay to be brokenhearted for a while. Not forever. But it's okay to say, you know, this isn't my best night. How about we cuddle? Nobody's going to fault you for that. Somebody who does fault you for that is not somebody that's really somebody I want to keep around. Because if I'm being real and I'm exposing my heart to somebody, and I don't get that same response from somebody else, then clearly we're not matching and it's time for us to part ways. I want somebody I can connect with. But in order for me to do that, I have to be okay with myself, flaws and all. The reason why I say this is because I've known a lot of people over the decades, and the guys who are most serenely confident in themselves are not the perfect ones. Okay, the ones who are really, really perfect, got the perfect hair, the perfect pecs, and all that, they're just as messed up as the rest of us. They really are. If you haven't hung around with a lot of them, I have. And we're all frail vessels underneath. And the more we accept that, the more we joke about it to say, yeah, that's okay. That's just who I am. The more likely we're going to find our center. Because we're so afraid of being all these negative things. We wonder what people say about us behind our back. Well, if they're being honest, then we know. But if we let each, not just let ourselves off the hook, but let off the people around us. I'm starting to talk a little bit circularly, so I'm going to open it up to discussion in a moment. But I cannot stress it more than I can now, that the more, like last night when we were playing over at the Eagle, you know, show of hands. How many people have been at the men's the hands-on demo at the Eagle? Okay? And we'll gladly go back because it's a safe place. And this is not me being contemptuous or dismissive, but I call it junior high because it's okay to be clumsy there. It's okay to be insecure. It's okay to do stuff and not do it perfectly. We completely provide that space because people get much better, okay? People get much better. People get more proficient because it's a loving, safe environment where we say, well, actually, that was a little high. Oh, okay. Well, how else are you going to know if you don't tell them? And what happens is that when we're done with the evening, everyone is so intimate, as in male intimacy. I'm going to talk about male intimacy. I talk about this quite a bit, but some of you haven't heard it. Think of puppies in a warm pile or naked three-year-olds playing in a mud puddle together. That level of intimacy is what we lack so much in our culture, and we starve for it. That's what our events are aimed at, not just the play sessions, but every time we share in circumstances like this. We're finding reasons to like each other and to accept each other and to be okay with the fact that we're not perfect. And that's why we see so many people in the room and why we see so many people at the events. Because at the point that I'm making before I take a short break is that, again, you guys are where that rubber hits the road. This is where the engine that drives the new culture is. By all of us being accepting and finding reasons to trust each other and to let each other off the damn hook and to grow together and to get better, as a result, we've got a lot of much improved people that started out pretty fucking damaged. and they aren't so much anymore because the rest of us love them and support them. That's part of being a successful and ethical bottom or top or versatile or whatever you want to call it, in that we are being admirable. We're being the good men of the community, and everybody else wants to be around us. So just be clear that this is a conscious process that we're doing. This is highly symbolic and very important, and it bears with the topic very heavily, okay? What we have here is someone who has shown that he has many virtues, and he is greatly admirable to me. He has proven his worth over and over again. He shows up. He always adds value to every experience, every place where he goes. He is always showing his big heart. He's a good and admirable man. He is very special. And my way of showing that is that one of the things that I've been doing is teaching him flogging. And what he does with it is what speaks for his character. He has diligently learned. He has gone way out of his way to make sure that he gets the practice, but far more important, the interaction with people. He has learned to be a sensitive top. He has learned to be proficient in the technical sense, but also he interrelates with the people that he plays with and always leaves them happy and smiling. And so then, as a result, I am presenting him with this flogger as a gesture of my respect for him. As far as I'm
Thank you so much. Really great time.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Now, I want to point out what just happened. It was very serendipitous. The timing was very nice. But it's not accidental. What I did is I vouched for his character. How often do we take the time to do that for each other? But we hunger for it. I'm going to bring up the concept of bar mitzvah, which I know nothing about except a vague concept. We have other experts in the room. And I'm sure they're eager to correct me if I'm wrong. But I'm going to talk about the Roman Catholic boy's idealized version of a bar mitzvah, where you're a man all of a sudden, you know, and the other men of the clan come together and we say, we claim you. You are of us. If you go on a bad path, we will go after you and bring you back because we care about your well-being. We are dedicated to your excellence. We'll make sure you get extra helpings of all the different approvals and nuggets of wisdom and any way that we can help you succeed in this world. It's a very wonderful, beautiful ideal. And it's a big promise. How many people in this room, show of hands, got that strong of a commitment?
For what?
For, okay, yeah, you got that. And you received it your whole life?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. My point is that we need more. See, what this was a ceremony where I wasn't just vouching for his character. I was saying, I lend my credibility to him. Whatever credibility I have with you, he deserves it too. And show of hands, how many people here would love to have something like that show up in your life? Yeah, that's my point. Because we need to know that we're okay. We need to know that we're fine. We need to know that we have value, that we're bringing extra value to a community that needs good and admirable men. And, Brian, why don't you tell us what this was like for you?
Brett.
Can I keep getting the two of you? I'm sorry. I shouldn't do this when I'm drunk. Okay, you're sorry. Now, go for it. Brett.
I was just saying that it's just, like, I've come so far in this group, and I started coming back in August, and that's amazing what I've been through and what I've learned from this group and from Papa Tony, and I'm just thrilled with everything I've been through and what I've learned from everyone. I mean, met Brian here in the group, and getting to, you know, practice the demo nights, and I didn't know anything about the leather community, what it was, what it meant. Who are these guys? I don't know. They seem creepy to me. I didn't know anything. No concept of a culture that I feel a part of and connected to that means something, that has value. That really speaks to me. And
very welcome. The reason why this comes up is because this is available to everyone. This is not based on externals. This has nothing to do with your upbringing. This has nothing to do with society's expectations of you. Has nothing to do with anything at all except what kind of man are you? How do you show up in the world? In order to be a successful top, you have to be admired in the larger community. I'm not going to stress this enough. I mean, I'm going to keep bringing it up. We are a culture that has each other's back. The purpose of a group like this one is to operate in the daylight. People who are sociopaths, people who are users, people who are cruel, people who are disapproval-based to the point where they can put you in the hospital for 3 weeks, they operate under the cover of darkness. They don't want their real names to be known. They don't want to be visible. Because the more visible they are, the more likely everybody's going to turn around, pivot, and point and say, that's the man, officer, arrest him. So they stay the fuck away from large, affectionate, approval-based groups like this. That is what the Leatherman's community has done since the very beginning. We support each other to make sure that if something is going to happen that is bad, we protect each other because we give a good goddamn about each other. That is part of the tribe aspect, but it's also part of them being an admirable man, where you take responsibility for each other's safety, well-being, and success. It's all a very romantic concept of, oh, I'm just a lone wolf, I do it on my own. Well, that's not what we were evolved for, so that's something you got going on inside you, because really we are troop monkeys. We're pack apes. We want to believe that we're part of something larger than our petty little concerns and our squabbles and our insecurities and all that other shit. So that if we are finding reasons to trust each other, finding reasons to have each other's back, finding reasons to share what we have and then be being rewarded for it, that's a highly successful tribe. And that's really what I'm talking about, because that includes eager to please boys, that includes sirs, that includes all the different types of varieties of everybody. It doesn't work if we don't communicate and if we don't share and if we don't give of ourselves. It works best when everybody participates, where it's crowdsourced, where we act like a troop of monkeys, where we have each other's backs. We give little warning cries when something bad shows up. We make sure that, you know, when something good happens, everybody knows about it. Hey, come on and get it. I'm using a lot of very weird metaphors here, but I think you know where I'm going with this. Part of being a really effective top is that the more prestige you have in a group like this, which is prestige-based, not just on, you know, how much meat you're swinging, but on everybody loves you. He's a great guy. He's always that nice. Yeah, he's flawed, but good God, I really like him. His karma is well above the norm. We'll be talking more about technique, I promise. That is on the way. But first we have to get the why. We have to get the philosophical concept behind it. Of all the things that I've learned in all these decades, it's what I'm telling you now. That if you think you can shortcut past what I'm talking about, it ain't going to work. You have to have the basics. You have to be a good guy. Bringing it up the Jewish concept again, mensch. You got to be a mensch. You got to be a stand-up kind of guy. Because what happens is then doors open to you that you didn't even know were there. I think there's a bunch of people in this room have already figured that out. But you find out that real friendship and real love and real kindness and real stature in the community is available to you. It depends on how you show up. And the more you show up as being a good guy, doesn't matter what age, what color, what body style, what experience level, the more likely you're going to succeed, the more goodies you're going to get. And we all want goodies. So that's the philosophical aspect. Now, I'm going to go ahead and draw a line of distinction here. At this point, I want to see a show of hands of people who want to point out something or ask a question. Let's go for it. At this point, Scott, would you help me? Okay. Oh, thank you.
Going on 2 points. One is with being a good man. I've had many opportunities in my time since I was taught at 17 what the rights and expectations of a sub-submissive boy are, to look at a man and say, and I've had guys who come up and they say, oh, a boy is this, and he does this, this, and this, and I say, okay, but let's drop the bullshit for a minute. Is that how you really feel, or do you at least admit that there are these basic truths about where the submissive calls the line?
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't even understand what I'm talking about, I say, have a nice day.
Mm-hmm. Someone else? Oh, yeah. Please.
I think I think that was a wonderful thing you did for him. I see where he's come from when he's first been here to the way it feels when he's fought me, and he is totally, he's up there in one of the top whatevers. And I really think it's a wonderful thing that you did for him to present him with that.
Thank you. Yes, anyone else? Please.
I just wanted to differentiate between linguistic praise and the sound of praise.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, when you're, I mean, I thrive on the sound of the response, not necessarily words coming out. You can be praised just by a person's receptivity and to their response to what you're doing and to the intensity of it and the purity of it. And I think that's probably the best praise there is.
That's true. Thank you for making that point, because I forgot. It's a good one, very good point, because if someone is turning inside out with pleasure, that's a really good form of feedback, really. Write that down. No. Yeah, someone else? Please.
I just wanted to say a comment for me. I think it's difficult for me sometimes being in a community where I'm younger than some people. I'm 30, but yeah, I've had experience. I've been around for a couple of years, and I've had a title and this and that. And I feel like sometimes it's frustrating for me personally, because I feel like I want to do more and I want to learn. And sometimes I'm limited by other people's expectations of my age.
Yep.
Or that I'm a bottom because I'm 30. I'm like, I'm not a bottom, I'm a top. And I'm learning, I'm willing to learn, but I feel like sometimes other people's limitations limit what I can do because I'm already, you know, put in a negative. So I'm trying harder to push past that with other people, and it doesn't happen. And I feel like the more I try to learn, it's, you know, trying to find the time to do that and space and the people that I can trust. But it's hard because, like you said, there's not enough tops that are really out there that you can trust and that I actually want to be with, that fit what I want, what I'm looking for. So it feels like I'm kind of stuck at where I'm at because I can't really, you know, I want to go too out, you know, and put out all my stuff out there when I don't, you know, when I have time, I do, but it's like, I just feel like I'm somewhat limited, and it's very frustrating, but I feel like I've gone a long way from where I used to be. I definitely feel that, and I'm grateful for everything I've learned that I'm into and I'm able to do. I just feel that there's still a long way to go, but it's like, I just feel like it needs to get there. I'm just ready for it to happen, so.
I'm going to make a personal response, and I honor everything that you say, and I know you pretty well. And it is very easy for us to tie ourselves up in knots, logically. This is going to be a really horrid metaphor. But the logical mind, when it comes to sexuality, when it comes to sensuality, when it comes to play, the logical mind is like a really tight sphincter. It's blocking the good stuff showing up, okay? What we have to do when we get all tied up in knots intellectually, we say, oh, I struggle with this. And you're speaking for a lot of people in this room. I'm not aiming this at you personally. But it's very easy for us to convince ourselves that such and such is a truism, and it's absolutely so. And then life's little surprises show up when you find out that it really wasn't so at any point, but you've been blocking yourself. Because you were so busy building up a negative feedback loop, saying, oh, it's always been this way, it's always going to be this way, and then sooner or later you got to break through. The way that we get past that, at least I do, what works for me, is when that comes up, that little voice in my head giving me all the considerations, oh, it's so hard, oh, you know, whatever the story is, I say, thank you for sharing, and I'm going to do it anyways. That I'm going to find what it is that I need, and I'm going to find a lot of it. Because as long as we convince ourselves that, oh, nope, that's not going to be good enough, nope, that's not going to be good enough, then we're never going to find what we're looking for. Sometimes being present with what is actually there and actually enjoying it and finding good reasons to, you know, treasure the experience can make a big difference too. Yes.
I think you hit a key thing. Being present. No expectations. Just looking at being present with the person. So just like you were saying, there is a lot of expectations. People, by the way you look, by the way you act and stuff. And people have expectations. Or they have a story about you before they even really get to know you. And it's just being present with every, you know. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest gift you can give anybody, is just being present.
Yeah. Another way of saying it is being with somebody. Time slicing. Be in the moment. Now. I played with somebody yesterday for 3.5 hours. And during that time, we covered the whole spectrum. That's my style. You know, a man gets to a point, you know, when you first have lots of sex with lots of men, that's our birthright. It's called liberating your dick. You know, have as much as you want. We were held back from it. You're not held back anymore. Go for it. But then a certain point, you get to a point in your life where you shift from wanting quantity to wanting quality. Everything that we'll be talking about during this whole series is about quality. Every bit of it. Because we all know how to, you know, fuck. You know, dogs do it. You can do that. That's no big deal. We're going to talk about really high quality fucking. We're going to talk about the whole experience that revolves around the fucking. We're going to talk about all that stuff in the, you know, in the seasons and the sessions and all the rest of the stuff that's coming up. There'll be a lot of technique talk. We'll have the time to do it. But in order to have a really transcendent time, you have to be available at every moment for what shows up and be thankful for it and be glad. Because again, okay, this is, I've done a lot of self-help workshops. Anybody listening to this who's ever done any kind of, you know, stuff like the forum or anything like that, this is going to sound really familiar. But the concept is top plating. Imagine big stainless steel thing in a cafeteria. You pick up your tray, and there's stacks of plates in this big contraption with springs underneath. You pick up a plate, the whole stack rises up a little bit, you move on. But you run into the guy who is going to pick up the first plate and look at it, nah, set it aside. Nah, pretty soon there's 30 plates stacked up there and everybody else is ready to whack them with their trays. That's the trap that we get into, where we think, well, I'm really looking for this. I mean, a perfect example of this is about 30 years ago, a guy came up to me that I knew. He says, I found the picture of my next boyfriend. And he opens up his wallet and he shows this gorgeous guy. He says, this is what my next boyfriend's going to look like. And I looked at him and I thought, are you serious? You know, you're going to look a long time and you're going to be lonely the whole time. What the fuck are you up to? When there might be somebody really wonderful and special and absolutely available and joyful just standing right there next to him. But he's so blind to it because all he's thinking of is, this is what I need. Nope, definitely not. Nope. And what a waste of our lives. But we do that. And where I'm going with this is that sometimes loving and accepting people the way that they are, as they are, in the moment, can actually open up new doors. That's what was happening with me with the guy that I was playing with yesterday. I met him for the first time on Sunday over at the hole, and there were plenty of applicants. I'm a big top. I was making it pretty obvious because I was wearing a t-shirt that said Power Top. Okay? And there were plenty of applicants, and I was very affectionate and very, you know, non-dismissive. I don't want to be an attitude queen with a capital A. How we treat people is what speaks for our character. You have somebody here? Yeah, okay, I'll get to you in just a moment, Dan. Thank you. One of the topics we'll be covering, we've covered it before here, but it was about a year ago, and it's worth redoing. It'll be coming up, is how to deal with unwelcome attention without being a jerk. It's about a 45-minute talk, because there's a lot to cover on that. But the point is that, yes, I was interviewing new talent, but I did it in such a way where it didn't break hearts or cause people to become bitter and angry and dismissed. Okay? Didn't want to be this guy. Okay? And I'll talk more about that. But the point is that I got together with him during the first time that we met there at the hole. I told him afterwards, I said, you realize that that was a scene? He says, really? I said, yeah. Because what I was doing is I was establishing trust with a capital T. Because nothing progresses unless there is trust on some level. That includes letting people be the way that they are. that deep level of trust of letting people be. Reason why is because there's a lot more joy involved when you start being more playful, joyful, affectionate, lighthearted, and frisky. These are not terms that we normally attribute to a really hot top, but they're part of us too. It's very admirable and very desirable to be frisky sometimes. It's lighthearted. It's fun. People say, oh, I want to be around that. Well, that's what we were doing. Yes, we were flirting. Yes, we were checking out the merchandise. Yes, we were establishing credentials. I'm using a lot of metaphors, but you get the idea. What happened was that I was letting him know through multiple levels of communication, and we'll be talking more about this. I was using words to handle the logical portion of his brain, but I was using physical touch to communicate on a deeper level with him, that I'm trustworthy, that I'm a nice guy, versus if I'm standing 4 feet away from him with my arms crossed, it's a very different communication. But what I was doing with him is I was doing the seduction dance in a very, very expert way so that he felt calmer. He knew. I mean, he told me several times during the course of the times that I've seen him that he has some serious baggage and some serious issues. But yet, magically, those never showed up. He didn't seem to be holding back in any way, shape, or form, because we had already established intimacy. We'd established trust. I spent a lot of that time taking the next two steps, and I'll talk a lot more about this in a future talk. I take people through four steps. I almost never get all the way through all four of the steps when I'm describing, because I get distracted. One is establishing trust. Two, finding out where the buttons are, finding out whether the nipples are directly attached to the dick or not, finding out whether, you know, different stimulation works in different ways. Three, training. We'll be covering that quite a bit. Four is going for it, which is the whole point. I'm going to use a very misused word, ecstasy. It's misused because it also applies to a drug, which is fake. I would rather have 1% of the real thing than 100% of the fake. And that's what all of this is about, is finding ecstasy without having to use drugs. Getting to absolute joy, where everybody wins and everybody feels really good afterwards, and you keep sending each other text messages afterwards. Just, oh man, I want more of that. Every man here deserves that. It is our birthright. But how often do we talk about it? How often do we really, really, really say, this is what I deserve and I'm not going to settle for less? And that's where we're going with this discussion. Dan, go for it.
What I wanted to say, you were talking about being a nice person. You can be the nicest person in the world. You can have decades of experience. You can know what to do with toys and all that stuff. If you don't love yourself, your world is darkness.
Yeah. And that's really, thank you, Dan. And that's why I brought up the whole point about being okay with being fragile, being okay with not being perfect, accepting yourself, warts and all, or whatever the flaws are. Because we have to take care of number one. We have to be conscious about it. We have to nurture ourselves while we nurture others. That while we're nurturing others, we're gaining practice for nurturing ourselves as well. One of the nicest things about being a really, really good top is you get to be the best man you know how to be. In all the decades that I have been a daddy, a sir, lately a master, where I've collared boys, I've collared 19 boys and one slave. I've had good, long relationships with each one of them. And I'm here to make an assertion in front of all you men. I have never abused any of them. I've never treated them shabbily. I've always been the best man I know how to be, which is one of the most joyful things. Because trust me, I know how to be otherwise. I would rather not be otherwise. I want to be somebody that these boys look up to. And that's something that we'll be talking more about as time goes by.
And actually being able to read another person's body. I like the nonverbal communication. Being sensitive to actually their desire, where their body clenches or quivers, to be able to sustain it in the sense of stamina, almost completely. find it quite interesting. And I could just get a boner thinking about it.
All right, I like that. Yes, please.
Yeah, now I'll come from the other perspective of being in a being a bottom in the land of bottoms, which is what they call San Diego. And to me, I think this is so valuable, and anyone who's in here who is wanting to go that direction, I will say for myself, I have gone back to bad tops just because it felt like they could host, they had a place to chain me up, and they at least was something. Even if it was a bad experience, it was something. So having good tops is more valuable than I could possibly say, because, you know, that's, I talked to a couple people in the room and other friends of mine, like, yeah, you know, I need to start focusing more on the community that I know, because I'm going to strangers who are not very nice men. Mm-hmm. So that fringe element that's there.
An experience I had with, I won't say the name, but he doesn't live here, with a sir, that's known as a sir, they're out for a long time. For me, I've been wanting to learn from the bottom up, so to speak. I prefer top, but I wanted to know how the bottom felt to be more an effective top. And I think it's definitely helped me. And the thing that I think sometimes people forget, or people in society, they tend to judge when someone's, oh, you're a top, and oh, are you bottomed? Oh my God, that takes away from your top side. And to me, it's like, how does that take away? To me, it makes it better. Because I know how that feels, or I know where you were at, or what you're experiencing. And for me, it's been amazing to just think about the time we spent together. And for me, he's so much different than I expected from, you know, that idea of, oh, a master or a sir. You know, that idea of the things that we think that they are. But when you have something else, when they're caring, or they give you, like, for instance, he gave me flowers. He came to visit me, he brought me flowers, and I was like, oh, wow, that, like, totally threw me off. So I'm like, okay, you're a sir, and you're known for doing this, and you're giving me flowers, so should I be? But it was like, in a way, it didn't take away, it actually added to the, like, damn, I want to do even more now, because it just shows how good of a person he is and what he's been through to experience that, and it doesn't take away from him because he's confident in himself. And I think sometimes we forget that. We think that we do things that, you know, society thinks is, oh, that's weak, or that makes you less than, but in my eyes, I think it makes you a better person, because you're willing to take that step and saying, I'll do this because I care about you, or you can trust me because I care about you enough that I, you know, I have you in my hands, or I have you in my control. And that's just fucking hot, because that just made him a better person to me. And other people that see him, they know how he is, and I got references before doing stuff because I know better. But the experience is just amazing, and it's so great when you have someone that knows what they're doing and you can trust, and communication is there. And like you said, Ian, like, when you have those people that aren't, you're like, damn, what the hell was I thinking? But sometimes it is sad, because sometimes you feel like you are stuck, or I have to go back because that's all I have, or that's all available. But I'd rather have the quality over the, I can get whatever I want right here, right now, but it's going to be shitty. So I'm just trying to live in the now, and what Aaron was telling me is that I keep wanting to think about future, and I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, but I'm missing out if I'm doing, looking forward and not staying in the now. So it's been really fun.
That's a very wise point. Very nice. See, again, sharing wisdom. Yes, please.
I have a tool that I want to share with the bottoms and some of the tops in the room. A little bit of backstory. I went out to visit a friend who's extremely new to everything kink-wise last November. And to help brush up on what I didn't know and to give me a way to teach him, I picked up a copy of SM 101, and with play, there was this great game that it recommends when you're playing with a new person for the first time, be it an experienced bottom for their first time with an experienced top, or someone completely new with someone completely new. And the game is 1 to 10. Before each strike, each paddle, each flog, the bottom calls out a number between 1 to 10, and the top tries to hit the number. And you then dialogue about whether that was an 8 or a 4. And then you do it again, and you do it again. And you get a good sense for what the top is capable of. You get a great sense of what the bottom is capable of.
Very nice. I like that. That's juicy. That's very useful. Anyone else? Any other thoughts? Yes, please. Gary.
I must tell you, I was collared, as many of you know, and I'm not. But I can tell you that if you have a good top or a good sir, you learn a lot. Regardless if it works out or doesn't work out, you learn. You learn respect. You learn where it can go. And you learn what your parameters are, if you're this or you're that. And it's very interesting. I mean, that's it.
Fine. Well,
yeah, that's it.
Thank you.
Papa?
That's me.
Is it possible that the intimacy and vulnerability that we seek is already inside us? And part of the joy is finding someone you trust enough to be that way with, and it doesn't matter which role you play, because you have to really come from a place of no expectations. It's sort of like doing it hand in hand. It's exploring, self-discovering, discovering as a unit, just, you know, sort of knowing and feeling your way until you sort of melt together, at least. That's the friction I'm looking for.
Very nice. Thank you, DJ. And, yeah, Jurgen, did I see a hand?
Yeah, he went first.
Oh, all right. Go for it. Please.
Just wondering about a different take on lining up what I want and what I don't want. One of the most amazing things I heard while I lived in L.A. was from a clothing designer. And his first question to his clients was, what are your pink leopard boots? By which he meant, what would you not ever be seen in? So, the point being is that he found, after a lot of experience, that people had very definite views about what they didn't like. But they were coming to him to find a new skin and clothing for something they longed for but didn't have a language for yet. Mm-hmm. So instead of wasting his time with them extrapolating out of the present experience, wondering what they might want, he would just extrapolate from the thing that they were most terrified of or would find most embarrassing. Mm-hmm. And he didn't give me a formula for how to do that. But there are times when I've been shopping that I've just run into a wall. And so I picked the one thing that I thought I would never wear and put it on and just started feeling it. And invariably, something snaps and it gives me a heightened sense of what I'm looking for. So I've just been playing this with that. And the word that comes up for me is my pink leopard boots would be boring.
Yes, I like
so,
that.
Extrapolating around that actually gets me to think about positive characteristics in ways that I didn't have language before tonight. Mm-hmm. At any rate, he's a great guy, and it's one of the most elemental but serviceable techniques that I've heard.
I like that. Thank you very much. Yeah. Okay, you were next.
I just wanted to expound on what you were saying about the confusion over top and bottom based on what you pursue sometimes. And I know that you understand this, Tony, because there's a connection between you and I in flogging that I've never experienced in any other venue. And it's a rare experience for me because I grew up in a very seriously dark life from like the age of two. It was a very seriously dark thing. But so what I did was I buried myself. Mm-hmm. Even blacked out and lost like years and years, but you come out of that, and then you have to find ways to transcend it, and that's one way I do, because it's very hard for me to feel physically and emotionally on the level that I can through what our connection is. When you just when he said 1 to 10, I'm like, mm-hmm. Let's talk about a 10 count and let Tony just show the shit, right? Because this dog's gonna say yes. You take it where you want, because that's on you. You know, I give it up, and then we connect, and then that's that, and I get everything I want. So that's how that side of it works. But the other side is being able to get that same sense of feeling and emotion through the response of somebody else. And that's harder for me, but it's much more satisfying in its own way. Because it's not what you've achieved if you can get there. It's what the person has achieved that experienced it and shared it with you. And that's so powerful.
The technical term for what you just described is power flow.
Yeah.
It builds up. You had something?
My name's John. This is my partner, Merritt. We used to live in Cleveland for about 10 years, which had a decent fisting community. And we were always dumbfounded by the fact that most of the good fisters in town would not play with newbies. We were always kind of dumbfounded. It's like, if you don't teach fisting tops how to do it, you're going to run out of people to play with. And it was part of our openness to kind of like take on new people and teach them what we knew got us our nickname.
Which is?
Was the Fister Sisters.
I love that. Yay! Wear it with pride, honey. Wave that flag high.
But we were always like incredibly surprised that, you know, it's like guys who were like really interested in trying were literally, our friends were like, oh, I won't play with them. They don't know what they're doing.
Sure.
And it's like, fine, if you don't want to find the unpolished gem in the rough, that's great. And it was amazing how many times people would come back 9 months later and go, I played with that guy. That, you know, that guy that you took home? It was great. Did you teach him that? It's like,
Yeah, I got him.
That's fine. So I want to share what I share with Eli, because I think it kind of pertains to a lot of people and how they may feel in this room. This is fucking kinky sex. It's not rocket science. And I think we get all like wrapped up in the technique of the how and the what and blah, 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 that we forget to have fun. If it's not fucking fun, don't do it. And then the other thing is, you know, you look at somebody like Guy Baldwin, who whips the 20-foot single tail and cracks it and makes your pussy hole pucker, and everybody's like, ooh, wow. How old is the wise old owl? It's not like he picked this up last week and he started doing it, you know? I mean, so get off your neck, give yourself a break, and be where you are right now.
Yeah. And be okay with being a beginner. We all started there. It's an honorable place to be. Good point. Thank you.